All right. Well, hey, we are delighted to be here. I love this place. You are in the center of the universe right here. Truman Robertson used to say, "Where this is the center of the universe, the sun, the stars, the moon revolve around Fort Wilderness." I should say, Truman, we live in McNuthin, Wisconsin. We're in the middle of nowhere, but it's good to think of it as the center of the universe. A lot of good things happen here. I've had decades of experience being here, and it's great to be back with you. I want to talk to the kids for just a moment. So this week, I'm going to be speaking, and Jeremy's going to be performing scripture. And so what I want to do is I want to make an offer to all the kids. So you can take a piece of paper, and if you draw anything, I'm going to tell a lot of stories this week. If you draw any of my stories on a piece of paper, or if you want to draw Jeremy, what he does on a piece of paper, or as many things as you want to do, if you put your name on it and give it to me at the end of the session, I will just pick out three, and I'll give you a coupon to the up to get ice cream, okay? So for all the kids, every day, all the kids that give me a piece of paper with their drawings, all right, I will pick out three, and you'll get free ice cream up at either a canteen or the other shop. So that's my offer to all the kids, and hopefully that'll help you listen. So just listen for the stories, listen for what Jeremy's going to do, but I'm going to let Jeremy introduce himself. He's the scripture performer. He's out of Chicago, just graduated from Moody Bible Institute. He just got hired by Moody to work in their stewardship department, but he's going to perform scripture every time before I talk. And his messages will always kind of tie in, and this message is going to be about God as your provider.
Well, thank you, Dad. Appreciate that. Is this on? Is this working? Can you hear me? Appreciate it. I'm glad that I could be here. I didn't expect it. You've probably heard performing scripture. You're thinking, what does that mean? Am I making a skit? Am I kind of doing a biblical theme? In fact, I take stories and whole passages directly from the Bible. I study them, memorize them, and perform them like I would a play, except I play all the characters. Fortunately, the good Lord didn't bless me with a good singing voice, but he made me loud and dramatic, so I'm thankful for that. So my first story that I'm performing is from 1 Kings 17, which is Elijah and the widow, and you'll see that I have Elijah and the widow, and it's performed using the ESV, NIV, and the NLT. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to King Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and head to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to provide you with food." So Elijah did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sent rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son." He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. He picked the child up, carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." And the woman said to him, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth."
Well, maybe Jeremy doesn't have a great singing voice. His mother did, but God certainly gave him the ability to memorize scripture. All of that was word for word, and he'll be doing that each time. And so he has 5 passages of scripture that he'll be sharing. And today's message is called "God is Your Provider." And for fathers, I want you to know that. Happy Father's Day. Let's give a round of applause to the fathers, right? Yes. So I one of your roles as a father is often to provide, but the truth is you have a Heavenly Father who does the provisions through you and around you and for you and with you, and so I'm grateful for that. But we're going to take a look. I'm very big on having handouts that make sense, so hopefully you've got a booklet. If you got the booklet last night and you brought it with you, that booklet is complete chaos. And did they bring books today? Did they bring new ones today? Did everybody get the new booklets? Yes, okay. Does anyone not have a new booklet from this morning? No, everyone's good? All right, so we're going to look at this. God is your provider. We're going to look at 10 ways God provides, all right? 10 ways God provides. And this whole series is called God's Shalom. And it's the whole idea of God's peace, his presence, his promises, his provisions. And it's that we can know the peace of God no matter what's going on in our crazy world. Now, I know that we live in a time it's very easy to give ourselves over to fear. All right, if you just think about what's going on, you think about what might happen in the future, there's just a lot of things to make us afraid. But here's the truth. Faith banishes fear like light banishes darkness. So in your heart, you have to realize whatever you're facing in life, all right, whatever you're facing in life, you're either operating in fear or you're operating in faith. Faith will banish the fear. So what is fear? Fear is the fiery enemy's arrows released at you. Fear, F-E-A-R, the fiery enemy's arrows released at you. And they're released into your mind and your what if and your worrying, and they try to fry your brain and destroy your faith. So either you operate in fear or you operate in faith. The Bible says we extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one by raising what? A shield of what? Faith. Faith. So how do you deal with the fears that are in your heart or will come in your heart because of the circumstances in our world or that will be coming? You deal with it by the shield of faith. What is faith? F-A-I-T-H. Fantastic adventures in trusting Him. Fantastic adventures in trusting Him. So one of the reasons I gave you this booklet this week is my dad taught me a short pencil is better than a long memory. Short pencil is better than a long memory. So I would hope that you would go ahead this week, jot some things down, because there's some things I'm going to say that I want, believe God wants you to remember this week. Let's take a look at a few verses. Elijah was a man that lived by faith, all right? Didn't give over to the fears. 3 years of famine in the land. Think of no water, no rain, the food is gone, all of that. But he lived in a spirit of faith. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." All right? That verse is true in 2020, and it'll stay true in 2021 and 2022. So you have a job description in your life, and that is this: seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you what? Need. Everything you need, not your greeds, your needs. Luke 12:3. God will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Philippians 4:19. The same God who takes care of me, Paul said, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. God owns it all and God loans it all. He is the provider of everything you see. He is the giver of every good thing you have. So how does God provide? What does it really look like in a very, very practical terms? I'm going to give you 10 ways in my time today of what does this look like? How does God really take care of people of faith overcoming their fears? All right, number one is paycheck income. Paycheck income. How many people have a paycheck? You get a paycheck. Raise your hand. Okay? Thank God for the paycheck, all right? Some of you, maybe that paycheck has gone down. Some of you, that paycheck may go away, all right? But one of the ways that God provides is paycheck income. Psalm 90:17, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. That person who, or that company or that organization that gives you a paycheck, they are not your provider. Okay? They are not your provider. They are your employer. God is your provider. And God is choosing in his grace to bring some provisions, not all, some provisions through the paycheck. The good news is God is way, way bigger than a paycheck. I was a missionary staff at Fort Wilderness for 10 years. And I got my monthly support. And when I was working at Fort Wilderness, my monthly support was $15,000 a year. That was my paycheck from Fort Wilderness. You know what? $15,000 wasn't enough to take care of me and my family. And yet what I discovered is God is bigger than a paycheck. He's bigger than a paycheck. He has many, many other ways he can provide. Thank God for your paychecks, but realize that God is big enough. I was a senior pastor for 10 years. I had a paycheck. Then my church called me to become a generosity minister to the world. All right, big title. And a guy in Texas said, "Brian, that's a big title. In Texas, we call that big hat, no cattle. You got a big old title, but you got no money." And he was right, because I became a dollar a year employee from my church. I was a minister at large from my church to the world, and it came with a dollar a year salary. And for 7 years, I lived in that situation. And here's what I can tell you. 7 years with a dollar a year plus God is enough. All right? 7 years with a dollar a year plus God is enough. Now, I need to tell you, I did have somebody the second year. A guy gave me the dollar the first year, and then the second year, he said, "You're doing such a good job, I'm going to double your pay." And he gave me $2. So I got double. And I could tell you hours of stories of what God did for 7 years, but I had no guaranteed paycheck. Every Monday morning I woke up, I did not know how God was going to provide that week. And that went on for 7 years. Number two, extra income or work. Bonus, overtime, raises, freelance, gigs, part-time, commissions. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Okay, thank you. I was throwing at somebody. The extra worker income, God can provide beyond your paycheck. I remember when my son, Josh, was 16, and he was looking for a job. He could not find a job. And I said to him, Josh, you can't find a job. You can't find anybody to pay you. But you know what? There may not be a job to be had, but there's work to be done. There may not be a job to be had, but there's a work to be done. And I believe that for everybody, there's things you can do in this life that can bring income into your family, bring extra income. What you're good at, what you're gifted at, what you like doing, you can take anything in this world that you like doing, and you can literally take it and serve others and make an income. So for my son Josh, he learned how to make how to pressure wash and stain fences. So what I did is I said, okay, we're going to pay you to go to the single women's house and the widow's house and the retiree's house, and we're going to pay you, Josh, to pressure wash and stain fences. And I live in Colorado. There's a lot of gray fences in Colorado. And he began to do that, and now, 11 years later, there's still a business going on called fencemakeover.com, turning fences from gray to great in 2 days. And that job pays $50 an hour by just doing that. But when he started it, there were no jobs to be had. And he took that, and he was good at it, and he used it, and he's still doing it to this day. So there's work that can be made by anybody. You can find a niche in your life. Number three is unexpected or extra cash. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God is our provider. He cares for us. This is gift cards, reward programs, royalties, rebates, refunds, returns. I think of my church, we're part of the Bless Your Pastor movement, and my Bible study group just collected a bunch of gift cards, and we were able to give over $500 of gift cards to our church staff. Right? That wasn't part of their paycheck. That was just we wanted to bless them as a Bible study group. My wife and I, one time we were flying from Virginia to Atlanta back to Denver. And when we got to Atlanta, we got there a little late, and they gave our seats away. And they gave our seats away, and then they were talking to us, and they said, hey, just sit here, and we'll get you on the next flight, and we'll go ahead, and we'll get you a compensation, is what they said. And so my wife and I were sitting there thinking about that, okay, what's going to happen here? They got us on a flight a couple years later. When they came out to give us compensation, it was on Delta, and they said, we're going to give you $800 Delta dollars each. So they gave us $1,600 of Delta dollars, all right? So I was like, wow, for a two-hour wait? You can make me late anytime for $1,600, right? But the cool part of that story was my wife had a dad in a nursing home and a mom in a nursing home, and she needed to fly every month, basically, from Colorado back to southern Indiana to just love on her parents and be there for a week at a time, and it's very expensive to fly into Louisville. But we had those Delta dollars, and that was amazing. It was part of God's provision in our life. It wasn't about our paycheck. It was about God's provision. Anyways, we did that, and then another time we went through Detroit, and we were flying through Detroit, and we got there, and they say, hey, we're looking for volunteers to get off the plane. We've oversold it, and we offered to get off. Well, nobody wants to stay in Detroit, so they gave us $1,000 each. $1,000 each to fly, to delay from flying out of Detroit. So $3,600 of provisions. Where did that come from? See, God is our provider. He has many, many ways that he can take care of us and things he can do for us. Number four, lifestyle changes. Decrease ongoing expenses and eliminate debts. Proverbs 27:23, know well the conditions of your flocks and your herds. Sometimes there's a place to just really evaluate all your spending. Most people, they don't know where their money went, and they just ask, well, where did it go? But you need to learn to tell your money where to go, all right? And so I developed a course, and it's one of the free things that is in a list of materials this week, but it's called Bless Your Finances, Bless Your Finances. My wife and I did the course ourselves. I built the course, and then we did it, and we looked at all of our expenses. What could we do differently going expense by expense by expense? One of the things we were looked at is we said, okay, what about health care? So this is about 4 or 5 years ago. My wife was a retired school teacher. We were on her plan, and it was like $1,100 a month for health care. And then it was a $6,000 out-of-pocket deductible before they paid anything. So we were spending a lot of money, almost 20 grand a year before any benefits kicked in. So we looked at that and we looked at different options that were available. We went with Christian Health Ministries and we dropped our health care cost $11,000 a year just by making one change. We went to our car insurance. I had been with one car insurance company for a bunch of years, and then I married Mary Ellen and she was with another company. We went with her company. We went with it. We looked at that. We were paying $500-some a month for three cars, three people. And we did that, and we went to Geico, and we went from $517 a month to $170 for the same coverage, right? Then we looked at our cell phone bill, and we did something there. Then we looked at our internet. We did something there. And by just making some changes, we lowered our expenses $15,000. Now, our income stayed exactly the same, but by God's grace, by making lifestyle changes, we were able to do some things. We were able to then do some automatic savings. We were able to increase our giving. But lifestyle changes is a way you can really bring benefit into your life. Number five, people's help and hospitality. Free, discounted, competitively priced, bartered. Romans 12:13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, the Bible says. My first wife, Sandy, we were married for 28 years. Wonderful, wonderful woman. She had cancer, and she had an eight-year cancer journey before the Lord took her to heaven in 2010. I then married Mary Ellen a few years later in 2013. Mary Ellen was also widowed. But when Sandy had her cancer, we were getting near the end of her life, and I said, honey, are there any wishes you have? And she goes, well, I really would love to take the kids to Disneyland in California. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. I'm on a pastor's salary. But that was one of her wishes. I said, okay, let's pray and see what God might do. And so we began to pray, and I remember I went to buy tickets, and I got all frequent flyer tickets. So I'm like, yes, thank you, God, that we were able to get to California. So we're going to go to California. We're going to be there for 9 days. And I call a friend. I said, hey, I'm coming to town. It'd be great to see you. And the gal said, where are you staying? And I said, well, we're going to get a hotel somewhere. She goes, no, don't do that. I live in Newport Beach near the ocean. I've got a duplex, 3-bedroom furnished apartment upstairs. You guys can just stay there. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, you just come and you just stay there. It's my gift to you. And so, all right, so we did that. I called another friend, said, hey, we're coming to town. Love to see you. Oh, he said, I'm going to be out of town. And I said, okay. And he goes, what are you doing for a car while you're in town? I'm like, well, we're going to rent a car for 9 days. He goes, no, don't do that. He goes, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. You can have my car. Really? He had a BMW convertible. Okay, I will never own a BMW convertible, but to drive it around Southern California for 9 days was sweet, right? And so that happened. And then I thought, well, we're going to at least buy the tickets to going to Disneyland. We're going to go to SeaWorld. We're going to go to a Clippers game. We're going to go to Dodgers game. And we're going to do all this stuff. And a gal said, we're staying. We said, what do you want to do while you're here? And I told her those things. She said, I know people. And she comes back to us and she got tickets for all of that stuff for us. And then I thought, well, I got at least got to buy some food and I got to get my kids some souvenirs. And a guy was talking to me. He said, Brian, come here. He said, hey, your wife's got cancer. He said, yeah, is your kid here? Yeah. He said, hey, here's $400. Treat him well. And he put $400 in my hands. And we went back from California. We had never spent $1. God provided flights. God provided a place to stay. God provided a car to drive. God provided tickets to get into places. God provided money for food and souvenirs. God provided and provided and provided and provided. He's so good. He's so gracious. God is our provider. Let's go on to the next one here. Number six, needed items. Craigslist, Facebook, Marketplace, Nextdoor app, classified ads, free, discounted, closeouts, clearance, auctions, grown, raised, hunted. Proverbs 13:22, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Ecclesiastes 2:26, to the sinner God gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. And Job 27:17, maybe a verse you never heard, says this, the wicked shall store up clothing like clay, but the righteous shall wear it. What I like to say in life is you need to learn to pray for your needs or your desires or something. Pray and go to Craigslist. Pray and go to Facebook Marketplace. Pray and go to a garage sale. Pray and go to the auction. Because the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And in God's providence, your need suddenly is met, what somebody else owned it, and your need is met. This last several months, I've lost 45 pounds. I went from 245 to now I'm into my 190s, all right? I haven't been this weight in over 30 years. My extra large clothing obviously no longer fit. My large clothing no longer fit, and I needed medium clothing for the summer. So I went to Goodwill, prayed and went to Goodwill. No, I went to Ark Thrift Store first, nothing there, prayed and went to Goodwill, and there was some rich guy somewhere that either got too fat or died. I don't know which it was. But everything I seemed to touch in that row was my size, medium. And I brought home, and I literally couldn't try it on in the store because of COVID. I brought a bunch of stuff home, and I got seven shirts. This is one of them, and seven pair of shorts. And so I got, what was it? So 14 things for $55. 14 things. The wealth of the sinner stored up for the righteous. The wicked shall store up clothing like clay, but the righteous shall wear it. What do you need in life? My wife, we're going to go in after this trip. We're going to Indiana to break her mother, not out of jail, but out of a retirement home. She's been locked in her room for 3 months, 3.5 months. Can't see anybody, can't talk to anybody. Nobody can visit her for 3.5 months, locked in her room, eating in her room. Gets out 30 seconds a day to go in the courtyard and sit by herself and go back into her room. And we're going to go break her out. We're going to get her wheelchair, and we're going to get her walker, and we're bringing her to Colorado. We're bringing her to a house in Colorado. And we've got a two-story house. And she's got a wheelchair and a walker. How are we going to get her upstairs? And for a couple months I've been thinking about this. I said, I know what we're going to do. We're just going to take plywood sheeting, and we're going to run it all the way down in our backyard, all the way over to where our car sits. We're going to bring her up in that wheelchair, up the hill, up the ramp. We're going to go ahead and bring her through the over by the patio door into our bedroom. We're going to get her inside. And every time we want to go out, we're going to do this all again. And then this last week, I'm going, this is stupid. This is a crazy idea. And I found out it was going to cost $600 of plywood to burn up my grass in our backyard to do that wheelchair ramp. And God put in my heart, there's a better way. Yeah, there's a better way. Yeah, more expensive way. You know what the expensive way is? You just get a chairlift. You put in a chairlift in the middle of our house. There's stairs. So you just put a chairlift and you put a little, there's a rail and there's a little seat and it's all powered and you brings her right up to the top. She gets off. And so that was the plan. Is, you know, get a chairlift. Here's how, they cost $3,000 to $5,000. $3,000 to $5,000 to do that. And as I began, I had some people come to the house to kind of bid us. And I found out you have to have the exact size. You can't just go buy a used one because it has to be literally the exact size. So what do? I'm praying about this, and I went to Facebook Marketplace, okay? And I see one, and it was 3 months old. It was $4,500. I got a hold of the people. I said, how long is it? I need one that's 158 inches. And they measured it. And it's 158 inches. And so I went and looked at it. And I went up, went down, it worked. And we took it apart, and I brought it home, and I screwed it in 2 days ago, and Grandma's got a way to get upstairs. Who did that? God. What are the odds that someone's going to be selling a $4,500, 158-inch lift that's an exact fit to our stairs? Only God could do that. The God who prompted my heart to say, let's bring your mother, let's break her out. Number seven, declutter and deaccumulate. Sell, give, or get rid of unneeded assets and possessions. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, godliness with contentment is great gain, not more stuff. Matthew 19:23, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. One of our COVID-19 projects was touch everything. My wife and I just said in March, okay, we're home. We were going to be gone 3 out of 4 months. I was going to be in 10 cities in America. We were going to be in Europe. We were going to be 3 weeks in Africa. We were going to be 2 weeks in Hawaii. It all got canceled. Not going anywhere. What are we going to do? One thing we're going to do is going to touch everything in our house. Do we still need it? If we need it, put it away. If we don't need it, let's get rid of it. Let's give it away, get rid of it, sell it away, throw it away, whatever. And we touched every single thing in our house. We decluttered and deaccumulated. There's a grace when you do that. When you do that, you say, you know what, we don't need all the stuff that we have. And so when God gives you the grace to do that, just go ahead. And there's a spirit of contentment that comes on you for what you do have because you realize how much you do have. Number 8, stored up resources. Stored up resources, investments, retirement pension, insurance proceeds, rents, equity. When my wife retired as a school teacher after 35 years special ed, on the day she retired, I got her a T-shirt. It said, retirement, goodbye tension, hello pension. And what a wonderful gift that was, you know, that she could retire. And she makes just as much money now as she did when she was working 60 hours a week. But grateful for that. Insurance proceeds. There's things that sometimes can happen. I had a roof repair one time, and I needed to get my roof done, and then there was a hailstorm, and the insurance company paid the $5,000 to fix my roof, and so many other things that I've seen God over the years just bring provisions into our life at a time of need. Number 9 is external resources, where there's something outside of yourself where God brings provision. One here is scholarships. Jeremy just graduated from Moody Bible Institute. He graduated debt-free. Now, we live in a day and age when a lot of people don't get to do that. A lot of young people can't do that for all kinds of variety of reasons. But at Moody, it's not a scholarship, but it's tuition paid. So his tuition has been paid by someone or someones for 4 years. Someone has paid for him to be at Moody Bible Institute and to get a quality education at Moody. But that was one of God's provisions in our life. Inheritance is on here. My family has experienced inheritance over the years, some early inheritances and then some inheritance at death. Insurance, church, family, friends, government. I think, again, back to Jeremy. He was working part-time while he was in college for a catering company in Chicago, and then because of COVID, all the catering events got canceled, but he got applied for unemployment, and that unemployment has been helping him these last few months. So nobody would have ever expected that, but in God's grace and his providence, there are some resources that became available to him. So it was the external resources. Proverbs 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs. He takes care of us. Number 10 is miraculous provisions. Miraculous provisions, a verse that many of you maybe never heard. Isaiah 45:3, I will give you treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. Let me say it again. God says, I will give you treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you will know that I am the Lord who summons you by name. Some days and sometimes you're going to be in situations you have no idea how it's ever going to work out. You don't know how God's going to provide. You don't know where it's going to come from, but that's okay. Because those are the days to say, God, how do you want to do it? How do you want to provide? I had the privilege of being part of the Inn Project a number of years ago. And that was a miracle building. We ultimately built the building. Probably at the time, it would have been well over $1 million to build that building. And we ultimately, when it was all done, if I remember the numbers right, we had $125,000 in cash that we used to build that building. But God provided. He provided all the roofing on that building. He provided all the doors, our fire-rated doors, our $1,000 doors he provided. I got hold of a mattress company. They provided all the mattresses. I got hold of the HVAC company, and they provided all the HVAC units. I got hold of a window company, and they said, well, we can't donate the materials to you, but we can discount them to you. I said, well, what's the price? They said, well, $43,000 for the windows, and we can give them to you for $17,000. So that's like someone giving us $25,000. And the list went on and on and on. There was one guy with HVAC guy that got laid off from his job, and he came and put in all the heating runs. There was another guy, Jim Laguna, from Milwaukee, and he had a plumbing company, and he brought up guys, and they did all the plumbing in the building, and God provided, and God provided, and God provided. Fort didn't have the money. We didn't have the money to pay for $1 million-plus building, but God met our needs, treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you will know that I am the Lord who calls you by name. we all face needs. But in those times of need, it's times to call on the name of the Lord. Say, Lord, here's the circumstances. Here's the situation. Here's what's going on. God, we need your wisdom. We need your provisions. We need your guidance. We need your help. God is good. God is gracious. He owns it all. He loans it all. And I would pray that there is something I said today, something that stirred inside of you saying, yes, yes, there is a God in heaven, and he does care, and he is good, and he does provide. And I don't know what your future holds, but I know who holds your future. And we may face scary days. We may face fearful days. We may face the fiery enemy's arrows coming our way, released at us. And we hold up the shield of faith. That fantastic adventure of trusting you. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. You are good and you are God. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for each person here. Thank you for the breeze upon our faces in this place. God, come and move among us by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, may the winds of your Spirit blow upon us. Lord, may our faith grow. May our fears shrink. God, may we discover and realize afresh that you alone are God. May you rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives and in our families. May your graciousness and your goodness and your generosity be poured out upon us and be poured out through us. God, thank you for the gift of this week and the gift of this place and the gift of these people and the gift of this time and the gift of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.